On Christmas Eve in 2015 at 11 p.m, just a quarter of an hour earlier than tonight, 79-year-old Betty Barker, a retired teacher in West Sussex, was just about to go to bed when the phone rang. She picked it up. There was a pause. And a voice at the other end of the line said, "Hello, is that planet Earth?" Assuming it was a prank call, Betty put the phone down, she went to bed, and she thought no more about it until the next day when her husband heard an item on the news. A tweet from British astronaut Tim Peake from the International Space Station sent at 11:04 on Christmas Eve, which read, "I'd like to apologize to the lady I just called by mistake, saying, hello, is that planet Earth? Not a prank call, just a wrong number." It's a true story. It's still on Tim Peake's Twitter feed, if you look at it. You may have heard it before. I've told it last year at some point. I couldn't resist telling it again tonight on Christmas Eve. Betty Barker had been contacted by someone beyond this earth, out there in outer space, and she'd put the phone down. The opportunity for a fascinating conversation was lost. She'd missed out. Christmas is about contact. Contact between earth and heaven, between men and women and God, the possibility of a conversation, a message for us to hear. Will we stop to listen? Or will we miss out on the opportunity? The choice is ours this Christmas. I want to say two simple things about the message of Christmas. The conversation, if you like, that God would like to start, if only we will listen. Two things, and both of them come from our reading just earlier. The first thing is this. God can be known. God can be known. The very end of the reading earlier said this. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. For a number of years now, one of the essential parts of Christmas has been the John Lewis advert. It heralds the arrival of the season. You've seen, I imagine, the Elton John one this year. A couple of years ago, it was foxes and badgers jumping on a trampoline. Perhaps the one that everyone remembers that really kicked it all off was the man on the moon. Remember the man on the moon? The old man on the moon, he was alone. And a little girl on Earth who spots him through her telescope. And the little girl spends the advert trying to communicate with him, but failing. There's a beautiful soundtrack playing in the background throughout this advert, if you remember it. And eventually on Christmas Day, she manages to fly a telescope up to the man on the moon with some balloons. And they connect eye to eye across space, and they wave. To many people, God is like a man on the moon. He lives a long, long, long way away, a world away. And he's rather lonely and sad, and he'd love us to notice him. He's waving at us helplessly from out in space, from a distance, and maybe we'll wave back at Christmas. But essentially, he's unknown and unknowable. But the message of Christmas is that God can be known. The end of our reading. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, has made him known. God can be known. In fact, he wants to be known, and he's made it possible for us to know him. He's done it through sending his son, Jesus Christ, who became one of us, a human being. He lived among us so that we could know him. The reading we had said, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. 2,000 years ago, God stepped into our world. He came looking for us in Jesus Christ. And through his life on this earth and through his death on the cross, he's made it possible for us to know him. That's the first simple thing, God can be known. But the second is this: God is worth knowing. God is worth knowing. Are you a fan of celebrity reality TV? Did you watch the Strictly final the other weekend? Were you glued to I'm a Celebrity this autumn? Even if you're not, many, many people are. That's why these things are in their sort of 16th, 17th season, year after year. We come back for more. And the reason these reality programs are so popular, these celebrity reality programs are so popular, is that in them you get to know celebrities in a way that you couldn't otherwise. You get to know what they're really like. You get to see their true characters because they're cut off from their media image consultants. And we get to see them under the camera 24/7 in extreme situations to endure bush tucker challenges. And we see them when they're tired and hungry. And we see them when they're trying to get on with other people and failing. And in all of this, we get to see what they're really like. It's fascinating. It's compelling. When Jesus Christ was born into our world 2,000 years ago, the Word made flesh, came to make God known. He did not live a charmed life in easy isolation. The crowds kept at bay, his image carefully managed. That was not his life. He was born in a stable to very ordinary parents. They had to flee for their lives when he was just a baby. They were refugees for a while in Egypt. And as he grew up and began to teach, he had no house to retreat to. He walked the dusty roads of Judea. He was followed by his disciples. He was surrounded by crowds. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, record not just the life, but the character of Jesus. We find him tired and hungry and angry at times and weeping at other times. We hear his teaching. We see him under the pressure of enemies who spend half the time trying to kill him. And finally, we find him on a cross where he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And you'd think that under this scrutiny, this pressure, some character flaw, some imperfection would emerge. And yet there is none. Peter, one of the disciples, said this: he committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. John, his closest friend, put it this way in our reading we've just had. He said this: "We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth." I said earlier that some people think of God as a harmless old man far away just waving at us. The message of Christmas is that God has done so much more than wave. When Jesus Christ came into this world, stepped into our mess, took upon himself our weakness, shared our sufferings, died our death, he showed us not just that God can be known, but that God is worth knowing. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. Christmas tells us, Jesus shows us, that God can be known, and God is worth knowing. So this Christmas, is it time that you stopped waving at God? Maybe you're waving because you'd quite like to keep him at a distance. Stay over there. Maybe you're waving in frustration, even anger. But in either case, maybe it's time to stop waving and draw close to him. He's made it possible. There could be nothing more important. Two things you might like to do tonight as you head off. If you want to think a little bit more about this, you might like to take one of these booklets at the back of church. There's plenty of them on the welcome desk as you go out. It's called Why Christmas. Just summarizes very briefly, but a little bit more at length than I've done tonight, the message of Christmas. You might like to take this. And if you have a moment of peace and quiet in the coming days, to read it through and think a little further. Secondly, after Christmas in the new year, we're running a course here at St. Nick's. You should have an invitation as you came in. It's called the Alpha Course. It runs all around the world. We're running it for 6 evenings in the spring. Come along for the first evening, see if you like it. If you don't, no need to come back. It's a course looking at the message of Christmas, the message of Christianity. You might like to have a think about coming along. As we finish, I'd ask us to bow our heads. I'm going to leave a little bit of silence. And then I'm going to read a few verses from our reading. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. But God, the one and only Son, who is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known.